So, why don't you take your Bibles? We're going to go to the book of Acts, chapter 12. What's today, the 30th of September? 29th? Tomorrow's the 30th. So, chapter 12. What I wanted to share with you this morning is it's really like two things. It's one is, I listened to a teaching that I just sent out on CD that I did about in July of 2012. It was about prayer. Actually, it was the weekend when I dedicated my granddaughter here, and it was about prayer, and it was about our spiritual warfare with prayer. And if you don't remember it, you'll get it, you know, and you can listen to it and know what I'm talking about. But so that excited me. That particular topic excited me, and that's what I wanted to share in a different records. Different place in the Bible, but one of the great weapons in our arsenal in walking with God as His children is prayer. It's a great weapon of defense, and it's a great weapon offensively. And I think that I have always underestimated it. And I think much goes on behind the scenes when God's people pray. And I think sometimes you and I just have to do exactly what God said to us in the manifestations. Trust Him. He's got it. He's going to take care of it. He's got our back. But just trust Him. Go to Him, and He will never, ever let us down. And I don't care what your day looks like, whether it's rainy or a beautiful day like today. And I mean that metaphorically. I don't care what's going on in life. God will never, ever leave you or forsake you. The first century church was going through hell at this particular time. In the Bible, in Acts chapter 12, we have our reading here. It says, "Now about the time of Herod the king, he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Old King Herod killed one of the greatest men, one of the greatest apostles that ever lived." Remember, when Jesus worked with the 12, He specifically worked with James, Peter, and John. All right? Well, this is that James. James was really predominant. James, Peter, and John were predominant. And one of the great ones, one of the top of the 12, has just been killed in the persecution of the church. And Herod sees this and he loves it. And because he saw pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So he's trying to take out the entire leadership of the Christian church as far as the top guys. A lot of good people there. I'm not saying that they're going to be orphaned. I'm just simply saying he's going for the jugular. He's cutting off the head. So he went for Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. And Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Here they are. They are under attack. This whole church, and it's been this way for a long time. It's been building and it's been building. And now they're going for the leaders of the church. Obviously, they know where they are. Obviously, James has already been killed. Peter is up. The next morning, Peter's up for grabs here as far as getting his head cut off. And he's in prison a while, and the church hears about it. And what do? They go into prayer mode. They go and get themselves locked in to God in prayer without ceasing, it says. This is not just your normal fellowship where we just prayed here for a little bit. We had, 10 minutes or 15 minutes of prayer. This is a time where they got together, and there's nothing else to do but bleed your heart out to God, stay that way, and rely upon Him. Because when push comes to shove, that's all you really have. I mean, if God don't deliver you, nobody else gonna. I mean, you might all stand up. But I think it was Benjamin Franklin when they did the revolution. He says, when they signed the Declaration, he says, well, if we'll either die separately or together. I forget the exact quote. Do you remember it? But anyhow, he says, but we're going to hang. We're going to hang either separately or we're going to hang all together. But surely we're going to hang once we sign this thing. Yeah, so, well, it's the same thing, really. If Almighty God doesn't deliver us, I mean, just think about that. I sent out an email to the coordinators about the godless church. Now, that would be a place where you all hang out together, and if somebody was persecuting you, you got no place to go to ask for help. You don't believe in God. So all you got is each other. And that isn't going to cut it. That isn't going to bring deliverance. These believers, it wasn't desperation and fear. It wasn't out of panic of I don't know what to do. Many of those things sometimes we go in prayer for. I believe they were in a crisis and they knew where to go. They knew the only place that they needed to go. Now, I've been there numbers of times in my life. And again, all different types of maturity in my mind. Where there was nothing but fear when I prayed. And it was like, I don't know what to do. And then I get a little bit more mature in my life and I had the apprehension and at the same time, a confidence. And then there's other times in my life where doesn't matter what's going on here, I have that confidence when I go to my Father, He hears me and will deliver me. I mean, all through my life, this difference in prayer, in my attitude, in my faith, has grown. And I'm sure in a fellowship you have people of all different, maturity levels in their own faith as far as prayer is concerned. But they knew where to go. And like I said, it wasn't a 10-minute 15-minute service. They prayed continually. And I think that they did that. Go to Daniel. chapter 10. Because you can see so many times in Scripture that great men of God. You know, in the Children's Fellowship song, you have that one that says Daniel is a man of prayer. Well, Mary and I were talking about the Children's Fellowship songs the other day. Some of them are just so completely, absolutely, profoundly true. And to teach the kids those things is just a great gift. Daniel chapter 10. This is in the third year of Cyrus the king. And verse 2 it says, "And in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all until 3 whole weeks were fulfilled." He was fasting and praying. That's what this record. And this is 21 days. And he did this because he humbled himself to God because he wanted to know. He wanted to know. In verse 12. This is the angel that appeared to him, and he said unto me, "Fear not, Daniel, for whom from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, to humble thyself, to prostrate thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." You know, the first day those words were heard. He fasted and prayed for 21 days. But the first day they were heard. But the angel shows up 21 days later. "But the prince of the king of Persia withstood me 21 days. The prince of the king of Persia, I believe, is the devil. All right? I think it's a metaphor for the devil himself. He withstood me. Satan. He withstood me. By the way, that's his name, not Lucifer. I don't know where people got that someplace either. He's Satan. Are there things that can obstruct you getting the answer? Yeah. Were your prayers heard? You keep praying. You just keep praying. We are at war. You know, we're a war-weary nation for real, you know, since 2001, right? We're a very war-weary nation. Well, you can't quit until you win. Because the enemy isn't quitting until they win. Doesn't matter how tired you get. The devil is your enemy. He isn't quitting. Now, you want to lay down and get buried? That's up to you. That's your option. That's your option in life, in the real world, and that's your option in the spiritual realm. You might as well enjoy the fight. Daniel's prayers were heard, but he continued. And the adversary resisted this. He fought with them, but it says, you know, Gabriel delivered the message. Michael was the one that helped him get there. And he got the vision and he got the revelation. And it's quite a vision and quite a revelation of what's going to happen in the last days. But it's a battle. It's a war. Herod is a punk king. He is just flesh and blood. That's what I meant by a punk king, okay? He is nothing special. He's like any other man, power hungry, you know, politically connected, that none of them put their pants on any different than any other. I guess that's my point. They seem to have more than others, but they're just men. Who is this man that he should stand against the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he is one who is backed by the devil. Okay? Because you don't kill God's men unless you have got something behind you. They're just guys. I mean, I guess that was. Go back to Acts chapter 12. And I want you, we were told, Jesus Christ told us right from the Sermon on the Mount that we're going to be persecuted, right? There's no secret here. This is part of the job. This is part of the fact that we have to long suffer, that we have to be patient, that we have to endure. We also have the victory of ultimately, but we are in this battle. You know, soldiers, think about it in real life. Soldiers train hard. In fact, they train so hard they get killed training. Worn out, broken. When they train in real life, not just in battle, even in training, let alone in battle. Well, life is difficult. Life can be very difficult at times, but you just keep training, you keep pushing ahead, you keep enduring. You endure unto the end, no matter what, and you have the joy of watching God work. You have the joy, the privilege of knowing, hey, it's not an empty future we have in front of us. It's one filled with light and blessings. You have all of this, you know, in the big picture. I mean, hey, is it hard to raise kids? Yeah, well, what do when you get one? Throw it out because it's tough? No, you endure, you're patient, you do. And you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Everything that's worthwhile is difficult. Because you wouldn't fight so hard for it if it wasn't worthwhile and if it wasn't beautiful. Well, it's the same thing with the things of God. So what? You know, it just doesn't compare. I think there's a beautiful verse of scripture in Corinthians. It just doesn't compare. It's not to be compared with the things that are coming before us. Go back here. These believers were under, I can't paint the picture well enough here. Just think, the troopers are outside the door here on Coleridge Street, looking for these people. They're looking for every coordinate. They're looking for the guys who run the church. And these guys are on the run. They're just sitting around their table on Sunday reading the newspaper. And they catch him. They catch Peter. And the church goes to bat in prayer. And those prayers were heard from the first day, just like Daniel. They knew those scriptures. They knew it was a battle. They know that there is a devil and that they need God's help in order to succeed here. They pour their hearts out to him. And when Herod, verse 6, would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Here he is, he's in prison. This guy's not sweating, he's sleeping. Tells you a lot about Peter. And he's got two chains hanging on him. And he's got two guys outside. It says four quadrant of soldiers is four soldiers. How they were arranged, I don't know. Some people have said that he was chained to the soldiers themselves who stood around him. Others, different. I don't know. All I know is that he's definitely locked down. But he's sleeping. He's sleeping. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shining in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. He kicked him in the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not, he knew not, that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. That tells you a lot about visions, spiritual visions. It's like, it's for real. But they were past the first and the second ward, and they came to the iron gate that led unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. So they got to make movies out of this stuff. I mean, so here you got the guards, right? And they're going to get killed later on. Herod's going to kill them because they don't know what happened. So all of this happens. Chains fall off, the guy gets dressed, kicks him in the side, get dressed. They walk out. Gates open before them. And then Peter says, gee, this is for real. It was open unto them of its own accord, and they went out, and they passed through on the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he finally figured it out. Is this for real? He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. First place he goes to a place not only familiar to him, but faithful believers. And they got many people there praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel, a young girl, came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Come on, now this, can you picture this? This is a little girl, okay? I mean, who knows how old she is, but she's a little girl, right? Because nobody's taking her serious one way or the other. And she's, you know, little enough to be so excited that she doesn't even open the door, you know? And they said to her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is angel. Don't give me that, why they did that. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. You know, they were praying. But this was even beyond anything that they could expect. Well beyond anything that they could possibly expect. I don't say that they weren't believing. I've heard that before. I just think it was so far. I mean, this record here we just read, the angel shows up, the gates open, gets all the way through, nobody sees him. Even Peter was astonished. There's nothing, nothing that our God can't do. He's not limited to what you and I can think up. If he sends his angel to get the job done, any which way he likes. But he beckoned unto them. And here he is. He's trying to get out of Dodge. This is the other thing I thought of when you watch all these movies of these guys getting out of prison, trying to escape or eluding the people that are chasing them. He's knocking on the door. He thinks he's going to get in. And it, now he's standing in the hallway for crying out. Come on, let me in. And he beckoned unto them, verse 17, with his hands, and he told their peace. And he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed, and he went into another place. And as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. That was become of Peter. What was become of Peter? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, and desired peace because of their country was nourished by the king's country. So it just got this one little blurb. You got these people who want a good political deal with this guy. He put the guys to death. You don't want to get in the Lord's way here. And upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel. This is the man who's backed by the devil who took out James, almost took out Peter, except for the angel of the Lord delivering him out of their hands. This is the same evil, evil dude. And he's still a powerful man. He's got his thumb on the people of Tyre and Sidon. And they come and, hey, you know, you're good for us. So he comes out with his array. He sets out a certain day, and Herod arrayed in royal apparel, and he sat on his throne. And he made an oration unto them, and the people gave out a shout, saying, remember, these are the people who really want something from him, right? So they give out this shout. It is the voice of a god and not a man. This guy is better than sliced bread. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Wow. They don't make no movies out of this, huh? The angel that delivered Peter might be the same one. Herod's the enemy. Herod's the man backed by the devil who's standing against God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the outreach of his word. God's people go to bat for Peter and probably their own lives and probably the persecution and probably everything else. You know, there are scriptures, deliver us from evil and unreasonable men. And hey, not a problem if God's people go to the Lord. Who are they? What's going on behind the scenes? I don't think the people of God had a clue what needed to be done or how the deliverance needed to be brought. But they trusted the Lord to do it. And I believe those prayers were heard from the first day, however many days there were between the time he was imprisoned until the time the angel came. But this man is still the enemy. And God's judgment came upon him. And it was really kind of graphic. I kind of like it. It was really graphic. He didn't give God the glory, and that was, okay, he crossed the line. It wasn't just first time, but that was, we're done. Sitting there in his royal robes, and he's eaten of worms and drops dead. But what happened in response to that? Verse 24, when you see the things of God and God's judgment, when you see the power of God come, and even in the midst of all this cruelty and all of this terror that the church is facing, what happens to the church when they see God do his thing? It says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Verse 24. The word of God grew and multiplied. You see that also in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira and the evil that they want to bring into the church and their judgment where they drop dead. And then it says the next thing is, and the shadow of Peter passing by. Great fear came upon them all, and the word moved. And even the shadow of Peter healed. Why? Because it builds faith. How tough life get? Sometimes it can get tough. Well, you can lay down. In a metaphoric sense, you can lay down and just let the world run you over. You can jump in your grave early and just give it up. Surrender. Become a prisoner of war. We got examples of that in the scripture. You know, the Egyptians came out of Egypt, right? We give up. Moses up there too long. Let's make us a golden calf and go back to Egypt. We surrender. Well, they quit on God, but God took their children in. They just dropped dead in the wilderness after 40 years, that's all. But they never made it. They surrendered. See, I hope this, I'm not confusing the issue, it's clear. We got one life to live. We got one life to live and to give. In service to our Lord. He died for us and saved us. Let us have the heart and the courage to stand for him. Let us take the example of these great men and other believers to take whatever threatens us, whatever comes our way, with faith and go to God in prayer, not just throwing up a 2-minute thing. pray continually for God's deliverance, for His help. Pray for Him to deliver us from evil and unreasonable men. Pray for Him to get His thing done. To turn the tide. He can. He can. And He will. There's nobody. You know, that angel showed up to Daniel and said, "Hey, your prayers were heard from the beginning. This prince of Persia was kept me for 21 days. I'm here." And he showed him the glory of the revelation of all that was going to come. Not anything that was going to happen next week. He showed him things he wanted to know that haven't happened yet, but will happen. So, it's a spiritual battle. Prayer is definitely not just a defensive thing. Your prayers are heard. God, He helps. Which one of you parents, if your child yelled for help, would say, maybe next week? Forget about it. The neighbor will take care of them. Do you remember what the Lord said? You know, which one of you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children? How shall your heavenly Father not give to them that ask? That's the truth. But when you go to Him, think of that. Don't think of, I'm not so sure. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be fearful. Go to Him with confidence. Amen. So, Father, thank You for Your love and Your goodness. Thank You for Your great grace and Your tender mercies on us all. And I ask for Your blessing on our lives, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.